Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope you are either outside exercising or listening to this show. One of the two. You have no real choice. Put on your thinking caps, as always, the higher concept, to make sure you get to where you want to go. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Please get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. That's with two T's. We're going to start with a quote today from Steve Jobs, one of my heroes. Probably some of you share that sentiment. Other people thought he was a beast. However, I'm a Steve Jobs fan. Go to picture number 31. Now look at this, your work. This is Your Work by Steve Jobs. Have you noticed Apple? It's just not quite as sharp as they were a year ago. Anybody notice that? Look for that. There's nobody like Steve Jobs. Read this quote, because this has a lot to do with the show today. This has a lot to do with you. Steve Jobs on work, on thinking outside the box. Why is this relevant to your house, to your health? Because tomorrow morning, you're going to go to church, and you're going to pray for a better life. You're going to pray for wisdom. And then Monday, you're going to sit there behind your desk, and you know as well as I do, it's going to start to fall apart. Because most of what you do is work. Now, work's a bad word, because it shouldn't be work. We've got this whole vernacular of New Ageism calling work your passion, your love, your this. What does that mean to you tomorrow morning in traffic on the way to work? It means a new perspective. If you're spending money on supplements to get through your day, that is a perspective, but I want to offer you a higher perspective. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. Now, he lived that. He walked that talk from the day he was born, adopted, right? His parents gave him away. His parents were hippies, early hippies. And Steve Jobs was given away for adoption. You know the story. And the one request his parents had to the people they donated their baby to, something, of course, you would never do. The one request they had was to send this kid to college. And I believe Steve Jobs never graduated college. But what Steve Jobs learned is perspective. Perspective through suffering. And he applied it where it counts. Now, I'm not knocking prayer at all. Nor am I going to knock institution. Nor am I going to knock supplements. But you know what? The rubber hits the road Monday morning at 9 a.m. when you start your week. Can you attach to this? And that's the point of today's show. I want you to think of your expenditure in health, in nutrition, in all the things you do, those herbs you buy, those cleanses you do, as something that's supposed to be funneled into work. Okay, your relationship's important. Your friends are important. Yes, there's work and there's family and all these things. But I'm going to offer you a perspective. And I think this is very Jobsian, if we can coin the phrase. And that is, while you're focused on this, that, and the other thing, there is one looming beast sitting on your lap asking you to listen. And that is, how are you utilizing your creative force in the workplace? And if you can't, and if you're not, understand this. So I'm going to give you the whole show in a nutshell now. Understand this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're sitting there and you're thinking this has no relevance to you on Monday morning driving a bus or digging a ditch or cleaning a toilet or defending a criminal or running a company for a service you don't believe in, if you think this doesn't have anything to do with you, you're exactly who's supposed to listen first and foremost. Because what you're being asked to do is to understand that if you're interested in your health, if you're interested in reducing the probability that you'll get sick at an early age instead of an old age, that you'll just pass fluidly, if you're investing dollars and cents and hard-earned money into herbal supplements and the rest of it, understand the paradox. And the paradox is, if you're in a hole, if you're exhausted, if you're whatever you are, the money you spend in nutrition has to be funneled into a creative passion because it collapses. And you see this all the time as a doctor. You see people coming in that aren't even at first base. What does that mean? It means they don't function. It means they live in pain. It means they have real symptomology. They've got diagnoses. They've got diseases. They've been to 10 different places for help, holistic and allopathic. And then they have that great experience. They start to heal. They get to what I'm going to call first base. You feel better. You feel like there's some return on your investment. 90% of the time, these are exactly the people that start spinning. And where do you start spinning? On the way to second base. Because, and here's the perspective, the energy that you liberate, you don't channel into great work. If you heal, if you can understand that your symptomology is blocked creative force, then you have to concede. You have to make it imperative to find out where you're going to put that liberated creative energy. Do you have a consciousness that can attach to what I'm talking about? If you're going to pray tomorrow, pray for an understanding of what I just said, because it will take you to where it counts. We live in these dichotomies. We live in these isolated pockets. I have my family. I have my wife. I have my children. I have my job. I have the things I have to do. And we compartmentalize all of this into seemingly independent segments. And then we get sick. And then we're 60. And then we have problems. And then we spend money on our health. And then we worry. And we are into this circular spiral. It's the first base mentality of health. You have to find the consciousness to attach to a deeper level here, which is, the problem is, well, just read it. Your work, which fills a large part of your life, asks you to do great work. And the only way you can do great work is to love what you do. If you drive a bus and you don't love what you do, if you dig a ditch and you don't love what you do, take it step by step by step. And make your journey a journey to doing great work. Okay, fine. You've heard it before. More easily said than done. Go to Barnes & Noble. There's a whole shelf on people that'll tell you that. That's not what the show is about. I wouldn't waste your time and mine just to say that. The connection you're not making, the connection that needs to be really meditated upon, is the connection between that gallbladder flush you did and how to make this little Steve Jobs maxim real in your life. The connection between the cleanse, the expenditure of herb, the connection between all the things you do for your health, the connection between that point in your healing journey where you want to kill everything in sight. You want to divorce your husband. You want to get rid of your kids. You hate life. You're angry at God. This show is asking you to address that moment. That moment where you feel betrayed. Somebody close to you dies. And life is not fair. Something happens to you that is not fair. Something bad happens to you. This show asks you to consider that in that moment, the money you spend on your health is done to fortify yourself into a higher thought so that Monday morning you can apply yourself to what you need to make your creative experience higher in the workplace. That means you have problems, work harder. You have problems, work better. If you can't find something liberating in the work you do, get better work. Oh, I can't do this, my family. Do you know what you teach your children? You teach your children the same weakness that many of us suffer from. The fear to take a chance. Oh, but I have a lifestyle. Oh, but my neighbors. Oh, but my family. Oh, but, you know, I've worked, I've done this so long. Here's another statement. Wonderful statement. Wonderful statement by a guy named Bikram. You know Bikram yoga. Well, we don't want to talk really about personalities here. But what we want to talk about are people who have walked their talk on this level, and especially those in the health community. Because there's people like Bikram, like Steve Jobs, like Gurdjieff. There are people out there who have made this connection. Now, physiologically speaking, what are we talking about? We're talking about the ability to make the endorphin or the dynorphin. Look at picture number 22. Picture number 22. That's the chemical structure of dynorphin. Dynorphin is one of God's chemicals. If you look at picture number 21, what you're going to see in picture number 21 is a sagittal view of the brain showing you opiate receptors in the central nervous system. Those opiate receptors bind dynorphins, endorphins, enkephalins, metenkephalins, dopamine, serotonin, the God experience, the happy chemicals. We make them, and the brain binds them. And when the brain binds them, the eye through which you see your world shifts to another vantage point. So let me introduce a word, vantage point. Do you know what mental illness is? Do you know what your schizophrenia is? Do you know what your obsessive compulsive disorder is? Do you know what your anxiety is? Do you know what your depression is? Do you know what your ADD is? Do you know what your bipolar disorder is? It's an inability to shift your vantage point to a different angle of perception. We all look at the same world. We all see the horror. We all feel the pain. But there's a moment then where we rely upon an internal mechanism through which you shift your perception of that problem. You dig a ditch. You wash a car. You drive a bus. You raise 5 kids by yourself. You're disabled. You have cancer. People don't like you. You've been slandered. You're waking up to the fact that you've been ripped off. It's the government. It's the church. It's your mother. It's your father. It's your family. You've been betrayed out of an inheritance. Everybody's got the same list. And we all put the face on every day like we don't. When we do, the point is, can you produce the chemicals, the dynorphins, the enkephalins, that bind the opiate receptors in your brain to shift your vantage point? I'm talking about a bodily experience. This isn't something you can do just in your head. This is why it's so ironic that the first place people go when it's time to get healthy is, I don't have the time. You are making a catastrophic mistake, with rare exception, to think that you do not have the time. Now, yes, in reality, there are moments. These are not your moments. 99.9% of the people who say, I don't have time, are making a catastrophic mistake. That is the way it works. And the reason they do this, it's not a criticism, it's a perception. The reason they do this is because they think that the money and the time and the energy they invest in their health takes away from the time that they have to go out and drive that bus a few more hours to make a little bit more money, or dig that ditch another hole deeper, or spend a little bit more time in the office, or spend an extra 10 hours a week to make sure they negotiate that deal and it works, because if it works, then they can get to the next deal. And you know what I'm talking about. The connection between solving life's creative problems with greater efficiency doesn't occur to them. That's you to some extent. And this is where the health thing becomes so important. The whole central driver on this show today is to ask you to consider that health equals wealth. Dynorphin, the production of endorphins, there's a concept. There's a science to this. This is not bogus. Now, psychology, so I don't want you to get caught up in the trap. What, I had two people this week? Their whole family's telling them, go on the drugs, go on the meds. They're crying, they have anxiety, they want to kill themselves. They can't believe they've been so abused. Everybody gets to this point, and a lot of you get to this point when you cleanse. I don't want to do the show on how emotions get trapped in the body. There is no show. Done. They get trapped in the body. Have you ever had an experience of emotion coming out of your body? It sounds like this. I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know why I'm so angry. I have no reason after a year or two of cleansing to feel so upset. Why am I so upset? It must be my hormones. Let me go stuff a cream on. Please. This is nonsense. When you cleanse, when you heal, you will come to the point where those emotions that you have stuffed start surfacing, because they live in your tissue. They live in your tissue. And what we do in Western medicine is we stuff them back down your tissue with meds. 99% of the time, that is a disaster. Kiss your life goodbye the day you do that. Because your body's healing mechanisms are divined, if you put the time in, to have you purge those negative emotions out of your body. And how are you going to get to the higher frequency unless you do? But when you do, when these emotions begin to come up, when you want to liberate yourself from that negativity so you can divine your endorphins into a creative act, when you get to that point, the first thing you do, because it's uncomfortable to cry at Thanksgiving. It's uncomfortable to come home and throw a plate at the wall. It's uncomfortable to make outbursts at work. It's uncomfortable to act out, to have temper tantrums as adults inappropriately. So we pretend we don't, but we do. I know we do. I'm telling you we do. I'm telling you that people lie to each other, because we have a society that basically doesn't want to talk about all that stuff that you can sweep under a rug. So we pray at church, and we go out, we do our holistic rant about peace and love, whatever we do, and then in the marketplace, at home at night, when no one's looking, it comes out. How do I know that? I sit behind a desk and listen to it all week long. There are a lot of people freaking out. If you're freaking out, don't think you're the only one freaking out. If you feel miserable, you are not alone. If you feel like you're 50 and your life is shot, there's dozens of people thinking that. There are people so depressed they can't even listen to this show. You're going to go through a purging. As you try to get healthy, as you cleanse your gallbladder, as you cleanse your kidneys, as you stretch those tendons, as you nutrify your body, as you cut out those addictive forces, caffeine, sugars, alcohol, opiates, all the synthetics, the pharmaceutical drugs, as you purge these out of your body, you're going to start to feel your pain. But this is not a show about pain. I had a lady tell me at 35 years old a few weeks ago, why would I want to stretch my body and start to cry? Why would I want to do that? Now, this is a 35-year-old woman who will go down the tubes. She will collapse. I can guarantee you, if we don't get her to another perspective, her day is done. She will be 60 before she comes out of what she's about to descend into. That's a lot of people I know. And I know very few of all the people that are like that. I promise you. And my point to you is, why would I want to cry when I stretch my hamstrings? Why? It seems so counterintuitive. I do this to feel good. Now I feel bad. Who's kidding who? We have a culture that has divined a perception of, if your period hurts, if you bleed too much, stop the period. If you start to cry at work because you can't take the monotony of your job, the abuse of your boss, the betrayal of your corporation, if you're out there in the streets digging ditches and your back hurts and no one cares if you die, if your loved ones are suffering and you sit there and watch them die because you can't afford competent health care, and even if you go, you don't get it, if you're like that, those emotions are going to come out. So that what? Because on the other side of those emotions are the endorphins, the enkephalins. And if you can start to pump enough of those into your bloodstream, you will shift your vantage point. You have to trust that. If there is such a thing as faith, and where there is such a thing as faith, then have faith in the fact that if you purge, there is a shift in perception that will take you to a more creative space. If you really want to go to church tomorrow and talk and think and pray regarding the word faith, understand faith is understanding in your experience that if you take the time, money, and energy to purge, that on the other side of that purging is a different creative perspective, a more energy-efficient way to approach your life. That is the ticket. If you don't get that, it is why you will fail. I, at my level, see it as absolutely contradictory, as an oxymoron in practice, to think that you can shift a pattern without going to the body. When you feel better and you have more energy, you can take your choices to a more creative vantage point. You won't see a solution in a rut. You have to pull yourself through the endorphin system out of the hole and then consider your choices. You know what my father called that? Dreaming. Do you know what your father called that? You know what your mother called that? You know what your depression baby parents or grandparents called that? Fantasy. Do you see how deep the ripoff has been? You got to understand people that suffer. And we have, the last 2-3 generations, an enormously self-indulgent culture. And we all agree with that. But now let's put this into practice and understand that we were raised, our grandparents' parents were raised in social environments. It doesn't matter where they came from, South America, North America, Europe, China, India, you name it. The last 150 years of world culture show that people have suffered. This last 30 or 40 or 50 years in the United States of America, relatively speaking, has been a cakewalk. We've lost an understanding of what a culture that suffers generates as wisdom. And that's important to understand because it will burst your balloon. Let me explain. The proverbial grandparent that went through the Great Depression. You know the old saying, you're lucky you've got food on your table. You're lucky you have a job. You're lucky that you're even alive. You know, when I was a kid, I had to walk 15 miles to the schoolhouse, so on and so forth. You know that mentality, and it comes from people who have suffered. When you suffer that bad, when you suffer the way some of the cultures have suffered, and we don't need to get into that, there's a wisdom, there's a perennial wisdom that develops that tells people who haven't suffered, are young, who dream, that for as much as they dream, they have to stay in touch with reality. And that reality kills your dream. It tells you to take your creative force and stuff it, because it's not real. You know the type. Now, what we've evolved out of that is a possibility here. And this is what alternative medicine is really about. You spend good money on holistic perspectives. Your grandparents didn't. Many of your neighbors don't. And this is what we call people. And as I said, when you suffer tremendously, when you come from warring countries, when you wake up in the morning and see dead people in the street. I had a buddy of mine just come back from Mumbai. That's northern India. You walk the streets of Mumbai, you step over dead people. When the monsoons hit, you walk outside your office and the water is deep as your neck. And you walk home sometimes in water filled with every known disease, feces, dead blood, the rest of it, people that have drowned. This is no exaggeration. I had a missionary in from northern China. When you hear the things that are going on in other parts of the world, and what, our grandparents lived so differently? Anybody have a grandparent who remembers the concentration camps? Anybody grow up in downtown Lithuania when Stalin was genociding it? Anybody from Eastern Europe? There is no place on the planet in the last 150 years that doesn't know horror. So you can't point a finger. Respect your elders. But here's the point. Here's the bottom. The bottom line is this. Out of that perennial wisdom comes a downside. And that downside has taught you that when you start to generate your endorphins, your dynorphins, your enkephalins, when you have that high moment, that's just your fantasy hour. And that has nothing to do with Monday morning at work. Work is reality. That high moment is nothing but a lark. Steve Jobs flipped that upside down. I have lived 25 years in my life to flip that upside down. I invite you to flip that upside down. We are not European refugees. And even if you are a European refugee, understand the world has a consciousness today in 2014 that's much higher than it was 100 years ago. Just as sure as rape and incest get prosecuted, just as sure as prejudice has hit a new level of distaste in the world from Nelson Mandela all the way to Women's Lib, just as sure as these things are true and functional, is a consciousness that the world holds across all the continents that asks you to consider that dream that's a product of that endorphin, that's a product of that cleanse, that's a product of that nutrification, is a moment that dictates and should dictate your reality. Now, what do you do? Okay, what do you do? What do you do tomorrow? What do you do tomorrow to extricate yourself from that suffering? Get into that state, that high state, and escape all the entrapments societal that ask you to respect your low state. Those entrapments are many. You can call pharmaceutical drugs. Every single one that was ever given to anybody comes from that misunderstanding of the high state. Here's a quote. Go to picture number two. There's a quote by a guy named Robert Sagioli. This is picture number two. By the way, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is straighttalk.cc. If you can't get on the website when you get home, get on the website. Hopefully you're on the website right now. We're looking at picture number two. We're talking about the history of psychosynthesis. We're talking about people that understood that life is not about staying mired, staying stuck in entrapments, in mental pits. It's not about drinking the Kool-Aid. It's about understanding that the money that you spend on your cleanses for your herbs are steps to liberation so that you can create a new vantage point for your creative force. And that people have understood this. Steve Jobs is one of them. But look at this, 1910. Robert Assagioli, there we go, disagreed with Jung. As early as 1910, he began to formulate a model of growth psychology that he called psychosynthesis. Assagioli pioneered psychoanalysis in his native Italy, but quickly became aware of its limitations. Did you read that? Do we have you here? Are you entranced? You know that Prozac you're on, that Zoloft you're on? You know that Xanax you take? Oh yeah, it's okay. Everybody does it. You know that lithium you're on? You know those pharmaceuticals? Well, guess what? There was a time when you didn't do those because we didn't make those because we didn't know those. But there was psychoanalysis. Psychoanalysis failed. It failed. And this is what Assagioli is saying. There were aspects to it that were grossly limiting. Are you Christian? Do you go to church on Sunday? Do you pray to the Lord? Have you seen a shrink? Have you been on meds? Do you think, as a Christian, that you ought to go to a shrink or Jesus? Or both? What's your perspective? I want to offer you a perspective. It's a perspective I live by. The reason we depend on church is because we have a limited view of psychoanalysis, and we're not to be blamed for that. Psychoanalysis failed us because it took its spiritual component and killed it. And if you feel Jesus, you have to celebrate that, and you do, so you go to church to do it. And you look at psychoanalysis and growth models in psychology as inferior because, as Assagioli is pointing out, the pioneers of psychoanalysis did not understand the spiritual. So we pray, because you're not going to get it from a psychologist. You're not going to get it from a shrink. You're not going to get it from Prozac. So we pray. In a sense, I want to offer you a perspective on a deeper prayer, a prayer that comes from your spinal cord to the high centers of your pineal, out to God and back. That really, the connection and the reason you spend your money on health and nutrition is to make yourself an antenna, a beacon, so that you can meet life on Monday morning with a renewed perspective. Now, psychoanalysis, which we depend on, because this is America, and all people are created equal, and yada, yada, yada. So we go to our shrinks, and they give us these drugs. Assagioli is saying in 1910, psychoanalysis has limitations. Psychoanalysis, he says, focuses on the basement of human nature. Our conflicting drives. The basement of human nature, you're ADD. The basement of human nature, you're bipolar. The basement of human nature, you're manic depressive. The basement of human nature, you have an anxiety disorder. The basement of human nature, every single ICD code warranting every single pharmaceutical drug that you're suggested, that you're counseled to take, focuses on the basement of you. And tens, and this is the key. Now, I want you to catch this. I want you to think about this at church tomorrow. And catches and tends to reduce authentic spiritual and religious yearnings to neurotic infantile impulses. That is why you pray and not go to psychologists. And Assagioli in 1910 is saying this long before people were even doing psychoanalysis. So you got to understand, Christian or not, where psychoanalysis has failed us. It's failed us because it doesn't understand the high self, the high self. Saggioli said the task was to examine not only the basement of the human being, but the entire mansion. Psychosynthesis was the second major approach in Western psychology to specifically address the farther reaches of human nature, our creative impulses. You see that? Creative impulses. This is what Jobs is talking about. Jobs is talking about a model of spiritual psychology that sticks to your ribs. My point to you, this is a show based in nutrition, really healing and health. It includes everything. But as far as nutrition is concerned, the cleanses, the money spent on herbs, on programs, on flexibility sessions, on all these different things, is money spent to get to the mansion of your human nature so that you can spend more of your time seeking out perspectives that allow creative shifts in your existence so that you can understand that that defines your reality, not your grandfather reminding you to mop your plate up because the depression may fall tomorrow. The realists. You know the realists. How many of you ladies are married to realists? Men tend to be more like that. Not all men, but lots of men tend to be like that. And so you hide your nutritional herbs. You hide your supplements. And it's not all men, but here's the point. People, often men, are taught. They're taught by their fathers. They're taught by life. They're taught by the harsh realities of going out to work in the morning and taking it over the head. They're taught by their suffering. They're taught by their disappointments in the job place. They're taught by their broken dreams that there's something called reality. And reality says those dreams and those creative impulses are just dust in the wind. Holistic medicine was designed, it was defined to teach you otherwise. Perspective. Perspective is what sticks to your ribs. If you're looking for that micronutrient that you need in a greater microgram quantity, germanium, selenium, a little more zinc, if you've reduced holistic medicine to these superficial infantile impulses, you're going to get a superficial infantile result. It's called the first base result. Much of American nutrition is built on first place results. Holistic medicine is so deeply, deeply disintegrated and deeply fractionated that it only provides you a first base result. And you hear people make these misconceptions all the time. You know how bad it is? I'll tell you how crazy it is. Anytime you give somebody a nutritional supplement that relaxes them, I mean, this is at least 7 out of 10 times. Something good, something that can really relax a body. The first thing they do is call in and say, I have fatigue. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I spent what I spent on this herb. I'm so tired. I've been so tired this week. I can't move. Do you realize that people, they can't tell the difference between a message from their body asking them to plop their rear end down in a chair and relax and true fatigue? That's amazing to me. Think of that. Think spending money, living in anxiety, taking a step to health, and then having a wave of intuitive knowledge that takes your body and plops it into a chair and asks you to sit there and rest. And that up in your brain processes out as a bad thing, because now the money you've spent on whatever you've spent it on gives you fatigue. Think about that. I ask you to really think about that. That is amazing to me. When your average American doesn't know the difference between their body telling them to sit and relax and enjoy it, an actual fatigue, when you can't receive enough grace from the inner wisdom of your body to the point where you actually know that that message is telling you something good that you should enjoy. Enjoy the fatigue. We're lost. And that happens to a lot of people. How about this one? They cleanse, they stretch, and they hit that point where they can't control themselves. Their moods have changed. They're sure it's hormonal. They'll spend top dollar to balance out those hormones because those hormones, of course, are the reason that they want to punch their husband, that they don't like their kids, that they want to leave their job, that they feel that their life is a waste. And all that's happening is they're purging emotion. I could do a whole show on that. Why bother? Can you get the concept? The concept is that on the other side of that are the endorphin rushes. So Saggioli understood that. Others have understood that. Even Freud understood that. Lots of people over the years have given themselves to it. It even hit what we call the working out syndrome. Look at picture number 18. That's a great picture. That's a wonderful, wonderful illustration. You know, forget the pretty girl. It's not the point. Working out is my drug. I don't party every night. I don't get wasted. I don't pop bottles. I work out. I push my body to its limit. Then I push harder. I blast my music. I sweat. I ache. I love pain, and I hate skinny. I don't bother you. Don't judge me. You can have the clubs and the flashy life. I'll take the darkness of the gym all day, every day. I love that. Right or wrong, up or down, left or right. Even if she is an exercise addict. At least we're a little closer to the concept here. What this ad says is that when you work out, when you get healthy, you make endorphins. How did we ever get into 20 years of Prozac when we make endorphins so much stronger and more dependable? Look at this quote by Lao Tse, 28. He was a Taoist. He was a Taoist. T-A-O-I-S-T. Lao Tzu, Lao Tse. There's 50 ways to say it and only one way. Who cares? The point is this. If you realize that all things change, there is nothing you will try to hold on to. Holding on to things. Isn't that the issue? Isn't it about holding on to your ex-wife, your ex-husband, your ex-job, your ex-family, your ex-profession? Isn't it about holding on to your youth, your hairline, your sex function? Isn't it about holding on? Isn't it about getting up every day and deep down inside, just functioning, not thinking, not feeling, just going through the motions? Because the minute you look at how much you've lost, all you realize is that your whole life is filled with holding on to your pain. And he's saying here, if you are not afraid of dying, literally or metaphysically, didn't you see Rocky? Isn't that why we love Braveheart? Isn't that why we all flock to Rob Roy with Liam Neeson? Isn't that why we love the hero? Isn't that what art is all about? Isn't art about the story of the hero? Don't you think you're a hero? Because deep down inside, you're not afraid. Because you know, if you're not afraid, if you just don't care about coming home and making changes, about walking into an office and making changes, there's nothing you cannot achieve. Right. So this is a rah-rah session that some people want to just clap for because it feels good. And yet Monday morning, it won't mean a thing. The purpose of this show is to say to you, if when it doesn't mean a thing, you could walk into a room, give yourself 60 minutes, and by virtue of the cleansing and the stretching and your use of the herbs and your knowledge of health, you could shift your perspective to what this maxim just said. If you could enter into it, if you could absorb it, if you could do and feel what Steve Jobs said, if you could sit in a row in church on a Sunday and get yourself there, then why can't you get yourself there Monday morning at work? And that is why you pay for health. That's the perspective that allows you to deep into your pocket and pull out a dollar bill or two or ten to put into your health. Cleanse for endorphins, stretch for endorphins. Take in every bit of knowledge so that you can have that moment. That moment's called a practice. A practice. A practice of health is the practice through which you walk into a room for 60 to 90 minutes a day after you find the time so that you can produce God's chemicals, so that you can bring yourself to what we call the high self. Health is the art of learning how to create the high self when you're fighting your demons. Online in the bank, running around in traffic doing chores, talking to people you can't relate to, who don't want to see it your way, who are cursing at you, slandering you, attacking you, betraying you, not responding to you, and getting in the way of your prosperity. To find the right answer, the right solution, the right balance of aggression and submission, to find the right effective technique requires the right perspective. And the right perspective requires an ability to shift your vantage point. Hasn't that sunk in? Isn't that dynamic? Doesn't that make you want to go out and stretch those tendons? We're doing a school tomorrow on the teeth. I've got two spots left. The teeth, living organs. Living organs, each with its own purpose, each grown out of the bone of your maxilla, each part of the electric field that sends messages to your brain and back to your organ systems, the teeth and the bite, how to keep your teeth, how to resist decay, how to negotiate with your dentist so you don't get ripped off, how to adjust the bite yourself. How to understand that if you don't, it shuts off the high centers. The bite is a gateway between the organ and the pineal and the pituitary and the hypothalamus. The bite is the central junction box. If the bite is crooked, the signals between the high and the organ systems, between the high centers and the organ systems, go askew. The messages get fouled. Teeth are very important to understand. Teeth are a passion of mine. I know a lot about teeth, and I know a lot about bite. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I want two good students. Call, sign, pay, come. Come to that gathering. I run three classes. With two, we're going on 2 years. With the other one, we're going on a full year. At least take a look at 150-something shows. Do that. Do that if you're too busy. But then again, the point of the show today is your investment, if you do it correctly through education, comes back to you 100 times. If somebody said, give me $10, I'll give you 100, you wouldn't hesitate. But you see, you don't know that. Healing is a detour. Healing is an expenditure. Finding time is something that stands in the way of doing more important things. That's the screw. That's the Kool-Aid. Doesn't it make sense that if you have more energy, if you had enough energy to be two of you instead of just one, how could you miss? There's not enough time because you only have two hands. Suppose you tripled your energy output after a year of dedicated, passionate work. If you tripled your energetic output, what? It's complicated? How is it complicated? If you think it's complicated, listen to those 150-something shows. Just do what's in those shows. If you put on a blindfold and plugged your ears and just did what was in those shows, after a year or two, you'd understand everything. It's so second nature. It's so first nature. Healing is who we are. It's not what we have to be. We know what it is to be healthy. We just have to get rid of what we've imprinted in ourselves. There's a perspective the next time you don't want to do a liver cleanse. Look at some of these pictures. Look at Nelson Mandela, picture 23. No one is born hating one person. Have you ever heard the stories of South Africa? Of the prejudice, of the fighting? I'm happy to say I have clients now all over the world. It's about 20 different countries. Skype has been a ball. You find a humble person that is really open. They can absorb a healing over the internet. It's astounding how that works. And I hear stories of things in other countries. It's unfathomable. And here is a guy who spent how many years in jail that comes out with that face? Look at the love in that man. Look at the love in that man. You know what? We call those people, people of higher consciousness. They access their God chemicals more easily. So they stay in a more highly conscious state. But you have to understand that at the root of these medicines is the process through which you do it. And that's what I consistently, every Saturday, try to give to you. The perspective. So that when your emotions come up, so that when you feel extremely detrimental, depressed in the middle of a healing, so that when you bring to critical mass your detox, that day when you start dumping all your bile sand, when all your kidney sand, when those biofilms of infection that held amoeba, that held giardia, that held Lyme, that held some terrible pathogen, when those mucus-filled plugs and sacs begin to melt, you're going to feel bad. And your organs are going to let you know it. Your heart's going to beat fast. It's going to pound. Oh my God, I need to go ER. My whole body feels like it's imploding. Something's wrong. I have more pain than when I started. Something's wrong. You can't misinterpret these messages. The process through which you get to a Nelson Mandela state of mind is born out of, well, he spent a little time in prison, didn't he? It's an amazing example of the human spirit triumphing over evil, which we all have pockets of. And that's the way you think about your journey. Your symptom is asking you to let go of something. Your symptom is asking you to spend your time and energy in some process through which you can bring that symptom to critical mass. And when you do, it's going to hurt a little while. And this is where you have to reach down deep and get perspective. How many people come in with a list of problems, and then they come back with another list of problems, and another list of, and you just see them reflect the way they approach their life, the way they approach their healing. And this is why you fail. Even if it's 10 bad things to one good thing, if you can't really take the good thing in as a sign, as a prognostic indicator, as a message from the divine that there are more good things on the way, but you are being asked to pass the test. And that is to stay focused on the sign. Because if you do, your body will figure out a way. The divine consciousness will figure out a way to reproduce that feeling. And that's the whole journey of healing. When you consider the amount of misdirection, well, you can forgive yourself. I have to forgive all the time. I have to forgive the fact that I may be repeating myself for the rest of my life. And so the story goes of healing. Look at some of these pictures. Don't you love the pictures? If you're on radio and you could bring your audience to pictures, Doesn't that create a deeper meaning? Attach a picture to a voice, to a spirit, to a soul, to a communion. And that's what I want the show to be for you, communion. Because we're all in the same place. In a sense, we're all held together by what I've said here to you today. I've had to ask myself, starting 25 years ago, what is all this schooling, this never-ending journey with education, really come down to? Come down to Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And that's why I started the show today with the Steve Jobs quote. And I'm going to end the show today with that Steve Jobs quote. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way is to do what you believe as great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. You promise yourself over the next year or two, you will take serious steps in that direction, and you will understand the reason you devote yourself to a healing practice. And if your healing practice brings you closer to that, pat yourself on the back because you've learned an important lesson. 714-850-1007. That's to sign up. I need two good students. The rest of you, you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.